Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Terry Hara. I'd like to thank you all for calling in to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministry. Tonight, we're going to read more of our Christmas story. We're going to be reading about the angel who comes to Mary and foretells his birth. But before we begin, let's all pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for being born so we can live in your glory, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Turn with me now to Luke, the first chapter, and we'll read verses 26 to 38. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice highly, favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you or among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his manner of greeting this wise. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I do not know a man." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. When you read that last verse, when Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord," you know, if she had rejected what the angel told her of these news, the Lord would have found probably another woman who was a virgin to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary, she said yes. And after she said yes, that's when she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Lord never forces his will upon you. You have to accept his will. By accepting his will, you live obedience according to his will. Because this is the kind of father he is. He's not going to force you to do his will. But you have to accept his will. If you agree and go along with what he wants, he will then deliver for you his blessing. And as he called Mary into being his maidservant, he wasn't going to force her to be his maidservant. She had to accept it first. And you know what? She did. In other scriptures, it says, the angel does tell her that she'd be blessed among all women. And she has been. We know the Catholics hold high honor for Mary. And they do. And the prophecy had come true. And you know, when you look at the Old Testament, it foretold the coming of how the Lord will come. We know the prophets tell us that Jesus, the Son of God, will be born of a virgin. And in Luke and all the other four Gospels, it tells us he was born of a virgin. And that's how the Lord planned it, a virgin birth. Because it could not be the seed from Adam coming into her and being the Messiah because of the curse Adam brought upon all flesh upon the earth. What the Lord was doing was recreating a man within a woman. And as I said before, why did he have to be born a baby? Well, because the reason had to be Jesus had to go through life and know all the things that man went through. Sure, Jesus could have been made up with dust. The Father could have done that and just made him out of dust as he did with Adam and made him a man instantly, but he never would have had to go through childhood. He never would have had to go through his teenage years. He never would have had to go through the time of his 20s when he was now a man and growing up as a man. You see what I mean? He had to really mature spiritually. He had to know things as a child. He had to experience things as a child, such as bullying and losing loved ones as a child that he cared for, saying when he was a teenager, same thing when he became an adult. He had to learn, like growing up, how to work. He observed how his father Joseph that was given to him had to teach him the skill of the trade of carpentry. He had to understand about paying one's bill. He had to understand all this, and that he did. And he went through a lot of temptation within his life, but he overcame it. When he began his ministry, we know after he was baptized by John the Baptist, he was tempted 3 times by the devil. Patient with everything that every human being would have fell for. Prove yourself if you're the Son of God, that you're sowing the bread. Then, tempting him with Scripture by trying to change it all around so he would go through the temptation with that. If you were truly the Son of God, it is written that the angels will catch you if you throw yourself down. Jesus replied with Scripture, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then, Satan tempted Jesus with earthly power. "All things I will give to you, all these kingdoms will belong to you if you bow down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt thy Lord thy God. You shall worship your Lord God only." And rebuked the devil and rebuked him and sent him away. Yet Jesus in his ministry was tempted by the devil and his demons every time in every city that he went to. But Jesus overcame. But that is why he is our mediator to the Lord. Because he became the sacrificial lamb. The sacrificial lamb that was not spotless of sin upon him. But yet, sin came upon him and he took my sin, your sin, the world's sin away and put it on himself. He made himself the judge of all humanity. Think about that. The judge of all humanity. Because he paid that price. So, when we go out and minister to others, do we judge people by how they look? Or maybe how we think they act? No. And the reason no is because we're always supposed to preach the gospel and teach the gospel. That's it. I cannot and you cannot look at someone and judge them for their character if you do not know what's in their heart. Only the Lord Jesus Christ knows what's in their heart. So let us all pray for each other. And let us bring the one who is lost to Christ. Let's not say they don't have that right because they live a certain lifestyle. They don't have the right to have the Word of God talk to them. See, when you say something like that, you put a judgment that you're not supposed to be doing. You are not the judge, for Christ Jesus alone is the judge of that person's character. So go out there and preach. Everyone, my friend, has the right to know and hear the word of the Lord. Everyone has the right to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It is by knowing who Jesus is, we know who God is. That they are one and the same, a loving, caring Lord. He wants all to be saved. So let us not disqualify someone who may be living a life that is not of Christ. Let's not judge them, but yet let's pray for them. Jesus, come to them spiritually. Let us keep on praying and telling them about who the Lord is, in other ways or not, and others. The fact is, my friend, we have to keep on being out there and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. Yes, there may be signs out there that Jesus is coming soon, but this is, does not mean we give up and we stop right here. We continue on bringing in people to the Lord Jesus Christ. People out there are yearning for something that is a no and yearning for a spirit. They may not know it, but they feel a loss inside them. Come to Jesus and follow him. And for the church out there, again I say, do not preach your church doctrine. And what I mean by church doctrine, I mean not the gospel that the apostle taught. I'm talking about traditions you added within the church, which is you can't take communion in our church because you're not part of our denomination. Or you cannot come to the altar to repent because you're not part of our denomination. You see what I mean? When someone's coming to the Lord and crying out, Abba, Father, who cares where denomination they come from? Let them in and allow communion, holy communion to be open to everyone, not just the people who have your denomination name associated with yourself. For there is no denomination in the kingdom of heaven. And if we live in the kingdom of heaven right now, as we say we do, there should not be any denomination between you and I. If you and I agree, who is the head of the church? And we say, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are correct. So let us not use denominations to separate each other. Because when we start doing stuff like that, we chase people away from Christ Jesus. And when someone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, teach them the history of our denomination. Because we want them to grow, and they're not going to grow if we teach them the history of our denomination. Open up to the book of Acts. Open up to the letters of all the apostles and study with them about how to grow in Jesus Christ, how to live a spiritual life. Right? Because if I start teaching about my denomination, you're not going anywhere. Because you're not going to know Jesus Christ whatsoever. But you know the history of my denomination, and the history of my denomination is not going to get you into heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ will. He wants you to live a blessed life. If you read what the apostles are teaching you, you understand how to live a blessed life in Jesus Christ. that Jesus Christ wants to give you blessings if you keep on growing in Him. And my friends out there, I'm going to sound like a broken record as well. If someone has a different conversion in Jesus Christ than you, do not deny their conversion, because everybody's conversion is different from somebody else's. We read in the scripture, either from Old or New Testament, God deals with people in a different way in how He communicates with them. Moses was the only one who talked to God through a burning bush. No one else afterwards ever had. Paul met Jesus in a bright light to the road to Damascus. Or someone else may have met Jesus somewhere else. And you may have met Jesus at the altar, crying your heart out, repenting of your sins, and asking Him to take your sins away. Everyone has a different way of experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ. And rather than rebuking that conversion with Jesus, let us praise the Lord that that person found Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if they found Jesus differently from you, but just rejoice that the same Holy Spirit is now living within them as they are with you. Let us praise the Lord for this, because it's only He who deals with us as individually differently, but yet we have the same Holy Spirit living within us, and with that, He is making us to go out there and continue His ministry. And by continuing His ministry, we're telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He wants you and I to be out there. You don't have to go through seminary to tell people about Jesus. In fact, we're all called into ministry. And I'm not knocking preachers, but let's face the fact, my friends, that you don't have to go through seminary to be a preacher. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Where is it written by the apostles that you must go through seminary to be a minister? It doesn't say that at all, does it? Not one word. But we do have ways where the leaders of our church do tell us what a minister does, what a deacon's supposed to do, and they go through, I guess it's some kind of ritual, don't they? But the fact of it is, when you're called and you know you're called. So let no one deny your calling. Someone out there who might be trying to think that I'm a successful spiritual on it, on the ministry, so I must stop you from getting into the ministry because you must go through 4 years of college and go through seminary to really be called into the ministry. That is the right way of being called. Yes. And you must come from a prominent family. And you must be either from the business world, a doctor, or a lawyer, or a teacher. Since I am a teacher, I guess that qualifies me now, doesn't it, kid? you don't know who Ken is, but if Ken is listening, he knows what I mean. But anyway, that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. The fact of it is, when you're called, you're called. You don't have to go through all this gibbledygook to get into the ministry. When the Lord calls you, you know you're called. Now, does this mean you have to have a mentor? Well, sure it does. A mentor is merely someone who's mature in Christ, who's helping you along in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and helping you along with your ministry, and will correct you if you make a slight mistake, perhaps in what you said within the Bible. They help correct you. And by that, doing so, a mentor helps you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So why is this an important year? Why is December the 25th important? Well, we honor and remember Christ being born, right? Now, we can debate which is more important, Easter or Christmas, but I say both are important. Because Jesus was born for this very moment, born into the world to be our sacrificial lamb, so we could be a part with God. We will not be apart. We will not be apart from God. So we could be one with the Father in heaven, right? We'll be one with the Father. And that was the whole goal. Remember, after the flood, and God destroyed the earth and allowed Noah's descendants to repopulate the earth, they too began going back to the old ways of sinning. And eventually, God just let them go. And they forgot. Each generation forgot who the Lord was, because Satan at this time was successful of making every human being forget who God was. But only one man knew him, Abram. And God made a covenant with Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham. And it was through Abraham's descendants, Jacob and Isaac, whom God was going to build his people through them. And that's how the children of Israel came about, because of Jacob and his descendants made the children of Israel, and they knew who God was. And God made a covenant, and God passed down his laws to them. And God even told them about a Messiah that would come through the house of David, that this Messiah would be born from a virgin, and that this Messiah would sit on the throne that was of David, and this Messiah would take away the sins of the world, and this Messiah would bring every flesh upon the world, and this Messiah would be the light for the Gentiles. And it has. Through Jesus Christ, God's name became known to the world again. And it is true that humanists and all kinds of people have been trying to get the name of Jesus out of everything. They want his name shut down. They want his name to be part of a myth, as the Greek gods are now. They want his name to be a myth, and no one will ever know who he is again. But Jesus said his word will last forever, meaning as much as they try to stomp out his name from the world, they can't do it, because there's always someone out there who hears the message of Jesus Christ and keeps on spreading Jesus' name throughout the world, in any corner of the city, the country, the jungle, everywhere. The name of Jesus is being spread to the world. And that is why it is important that we honor our Lord Jesus Christ on his birthday, because he paid a high price for you and I. For every human being to be a part, every human being, he goes to the Father and says, "Yes, Lord, they are worthy of your birth. I died for that person. I died for her. I died for him. And yes, by my blood, I washed them clean. They are now part of us, Father in heaven. They are now with us, Father in heaven. They are now a new child with us, Lord, Father in heaven." And think about it. When you received him, you are no longer a sinner. You are, because the fact of it is, you were a sinner, but now you are saved by grace. And you now walk in the new light, because now you are reborn in him. You are now a new creature in Jesus Christ. You are now his child. You're different. No more will you remember what your past is. Satan may try to remind you of your past, but you remind Satan of his future. His future is the lake of fire. Your future is with the Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns forever in heaven and on earth. He is the one who cleansed you. He is the one that made you new. He is the one who made you who you are now. You were that person of the past, but that past is dead. That person you once were, is dead. But now you've come alive like Jesus. You are now a new person in Christ. You are now living. You are now a new creature. And as a new creature in Jesus Christ, you now live differently. You now walk in Jesus because you are now part of the family. When the Lord sees you, he sees Christ living within you because he does. You have God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit now living within you, teaching you how to grow, to show the world how you act towards people. Because when you live according to Christ, you live the way he did upon the earth. And that means even how you treat people. You do not treat people who are believers and people who are not believers. You do not treat anyone like they are a piece of dirt. You treat everyone nicely. You treat everyone with kindness. You treat everyone with respect and with dignity. Because that's how the Lord did. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon the earth, reason why so many sinners came to him is because he treated them with love. He treated them with compassion. He treated them with dignity. He treated them with respect. Things that people of the religious world did not treat them like. They treated them like they were a pond scum. But Jesus Christ treated them like they were human beings. Human beings who were worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven. God loved them. He wanted them to know that God loved them. Their Father loved them. And wanted them to be a part with him. But Jesus pays that high price for you and I, to be in the Father's kingdom. My friends, we're going to stop here for tonight. And I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And remember, Jesus is our mediator to the Father in heaven. To him, glory of the God living within you. To him, he paid it all. My friends, may you have a very Merry Christmas. And may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your lives. And may you walk in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. And I say this, you reign forever. Amen and amen.